Now, if you remember about Barzakh, we said that we have a hell in Barzakh and a paradise in Barzakh. Now, this is for purely, purely good people or purely, purely evil people. Ordinary people, which are generally either good or bad, eventually we don't know whether they go to hell or they go to paradise. Usually what happens to them in Barzakh is that after a while, when we say a while, it might take a few hundred years, we don't know. After a while, they are put in sleep. Now, that sleep could be a pleasurable sleep, a pleasant sleep, or it might be a disturbing sleep. There's a better sleep and a worse sleep there. However, it is not a life as the life of those who are purely good or purely evil. They live either in a hell type of thing or a paradise type of thing. But these people might have even dreams in their sleep or something, good dreams or bad dreams. However, they are not alive as such. They are frozen, so to speak, for the day of resurrection, so that they are again given a new life and energy. Now, what in the Quran establishes this idea of Barzakh sleep, and there the term oblivion would be most suitable for this state of people in Barzakh. They are almost ignored or forgotten after a while. We might remember, of course, our deceased relatives for, say, even 50 years or 100 years. But after that, even in our mind, in the generations coming, they go to oblivion as well. And in the same way, they go to oblivion in Barzakh where they live. They are completely shut down, so to speak, in a type of a sleep. And I don't know, do you remember any relative of yours living about 200 years ago? Completely forgotten. And if they are not purely good or purely evil, they are even forgotten in Barzakh. They are put into sleep. Now, here in Surah number 25, verses 22 to 24, Surah Ghafir, يَوْمَ... We discussed this verse before for one other purpose. As we said that people would encounter the angels when they die. And here it was said that the day when they see the angels, there will be no good news for the guilty that day. And they would say, keep up. Either the angels would tell them, keep up from paradise, or they say to the angels, keep up from us. Then we shall attend to the work they have done and then turn them into scattered dust if they are kuffar. On that day, the inhabitants of paradise will be in the best abode and an excellent... Now, here it says resting place. أَحْسَنُ مَقِيلًا. The exegetists usually say that maqil is a place where you sleep. And the way you sleep is maqil. They are in a better type of sleep. أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. Those who are going to go eventually to paradise, although they are put to sleep, but they are in a more pleasant sleep, in a better, in an excellent type of sleep. You don't have that? You got it.
21.
But how many more pages do you have?
10 pages.
Oh my God. So that's my mistake. I should have brought you more pages today. But you forgive me. Inshallah, I'll bring all the rest of it next week for you.
Can you repeat our lesson as well?
Sorry?
Can you repeat our lesson
as well? Now, so to sum up our discussion about Barzakh is a place where although there is no matter, there is no physical material existence, there are images without matter, like what you see in your dreams. In your dreams, you see images, you see color, you hear sound, but there is no matter there. It's all something which comes into your soul without the qualities of matter and physical existence. You have the same thing in Barzakh. However, there the life is more real than in the physical world. And people in Barzakh are divided into three categories, as they are divided into three categories on the Day of Judgment. They are either Ashabul Yameen, which are the majority of the people, which go to paradise, of course, but they are not purely evil and not purely good. So they are put to sleep. There are As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon who are Muqarrabun, and also Shuhada are put in this category as well, although they were not from Muqarrabun, but anyone killed for the sake of God are put in this category, and that's why we have in verses of the Quran, do not think those who are killed in the, for the sake of God, they are dead, they are alive. They are alive in the sense that in Barzakh they are treated like As-Sabiqoon and Muqarrabun. They are alive and live in a sort of paradise. And then we have Ashab al-Shamal, the purely evil ones. They are also alive and they are being tortured there. I don't think we need to discuss the verses about martyrs in Barzakh, because all of you know about it, yes.
What is the purpose of being awake if people remember you and escape if people don't? What difference does it make?
You mean what difference it makes if people remember you or not?
No, in Barzakh, if people remember you, you're awake. If people don't remember you, you sleep.
No, I didn't say that. No. I said that as we go into oblivion in people's minds, we go to oblivion in reality in Barzakh as well. Not that it has any effect on you. No, your life is completely independent of people's minds here. Okay, if we skip this topic of martyrs in Barzakh, we go to...
Yeah. When you say oblivion, what do you mean? Here we talk about oblivion in this world, you're out of people's mind. But in Barzakh, what do you mean when you say you go to oblivion?
You're out of existence, in a sense. You just go to sleep as you do not exist. Something like that.
Two questions. Firstly, if people, dead people come in your dream, they, are they still in oblivion? If you see someone in your dream, whose person has died, would that be still counted as in oblivion, or is he in paradise, or in...
No, you usually don't see your very, very old relatives. So, they are just recent relatives, about 150 years ago. I don't know, in one dream I saw my grandfather, grand-grandfather, and grand-grand-grandfather. And I guess that they are still not put to sleep. But they will be put to sleep somewhere, sometimes.
And secondly, when we talk about the questioning in the grave, we didn't touch on the squeezing. Is that because it's not part in the Quran, the squeezing of the grave? The tishar?
It's all what people face, as we said, when we enter the Barzakh. There are questioning, there are difficulties, hardships, the angels would somehow think it is. Punish some people. These are things that we call the squeezing of the
grave. It's not physical squeezing.
It's not physical squeezing. Well, physical squeezing happens for everyone, certainly, because...
It is. Okay. Yeah. So, between the time that you are awake and you go to sleep, what happens when you are awake before you go into oblivion?
What happens?
Yes.
You know. Well, they live. Some people, maybe even they still don't know that they have died. They think that they are still alive. It takes some while for them to come to terms with it. It is possible that even some people might not realize it. They might not believe it yet. And some people might just wander around, or they just live in a place waiting for being put to sleep in the proper place. It is very complicated. We really, our knowledge is really very little about it. Yes.
They say that, I've heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that every Thursday your departed soul comes to the mosque or your home and asks that you pray for them. Yeah. When you go to the graveyard and you say to the Fatiha, as long as you're doing that, they're alive. Is that true?
No, those who are not yet put to sleep, they can do that.
No, what they're saying is that while you do that, they are still alive. As long as when you forget them, then, maybe my great grandfather, then he goes to sleep. But if my father is alive, because I keep remembering him. That is the way we are led to understand. I just want your opinion on that.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think it's related to our thought at all. There's a mechanism there which...
So our remembering them has got no bearing?
Yeah, it's God bearing in the sense that if you remember them,
yes,
and we do good things with the intention of the thawab for them, then they will be asleep.
Yes.
That's the only thing.
So even if they are asleep, they will be asleep?
Yeah, even if they are asleep, yes.
What good would that do? Hmm? They are asleep.
They receive it when after they wake up.
It's
helpful, huh?
But that's in resurrection, yes?
Yeah, in resurrection.
Not before resurrection.
No. No, it might... also affect the type of the sleep they have, whether it's a good sleep or bad sleep. Okay, now the trumpets and resurrection, something which catches all the deceased, all the dead by surprise. Now, you shouldn't think that as soon as we go to the next world, we know everything, or we have joined with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have found out everything. No. It's another world with higher knowledge, deeper understanding, but still there are so many veils before us. And although our level of knowledge has increased a lot, if you are awake, however, still there are things that we don't know at all. One of the things that no one knows, even in Barzakh, is that when the day of resurrection is going to come. We don't know it here. Even when you go to Barzakh, you don't know it there. Even if you are alive, you are waiting for it. And you don't know when that is going to happen. And that's why I said it is going to take everyone by surprise. Even the angels are taken by surprise when the day of resurrection comes suddenly. And in the Quran we have verses that the knowledge of this time of the day of resurrection is something that no one could carry in the universe. ثَقُلَتْ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ. It is so heavy a knowledge in the heavens and in the earth. It means neither the inhabitants of heavens, the angels, nor the inhabitants of the earth, the human beings, they can carry this knowledge of the day of resurrection, the timing of it. مَا تَأْتِيهِمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَةً. It comes with surprise. It is impossible that when it comes, someone has a premonition, a type of pre-knowledge about it. It comes with surprise. So that's why I have said, caught by surprise here. Everyone is caught by surprise. As I said, even Israfil, who is going to blow into trumpets, he doesn't know when he's going to do it. It's just like what we say about Imam al-As, alayhi salam, that even he himself doesn't know when is the time of his reappearance. And it's the same with the angel who is going to blow into the trumpet. He even doesn't know when this is going to happen. This knowledge is only kept for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what happens here? The two blowings of the trumpets. Many verses of the Quran state that there are, when the day of resurrection comes, there are two blowings into the trumpet. Now, what this trumpet is, we don't know. I had a very good picture sent to me by Safaraz once that the shape of the whole universe, unfortunately I don't have it here on this computer, the shape of the whole universe is like a trumpet, the whole creation. So could we say that when we say, when the trumpet is blown in, is blown, it means that something fresh from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the universe. And that is the blowing into the trumpet. Maybe. Or maybe there is something that would take place because of the acts of Sarafil or Asrafil, which would change the whole state and phase of creation, take it all together into a new state. And the two trumpets are completely different from each other, or the two blowings in the trumpets are completely different from each other, because with one blowing comes death. Death not only of human beings who live on this earth, death of the souls. All souls would die. We know that souls wouldn't die when we leave this world. They live, either alive, awake, or asleep, but they live. They never die by leaving this world. However, when that blowing of the trumpet comes, it is so huge and so terrible, or terrifying, or something that, like that, that also even the souls of the prophets would die. And what's the meaning of the death of a soul? We don't know. We don't know, because the soul is not a body that by death something goes out of it, the life goes out of it. The soul is something which its existence is life. So what's the meaning of death here? We don't know. But the Quran says that all souls will die. What about the angels? Well, there are two views here. One view says that the angels will die as well. Even the seraphim that blows the trumpet will die. It means that no living being should exist in the universe at that time. Now, look at these verses of the Quran now. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. He is the one who has created the heavens and the earth with the truth. وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The day he says, be, it is. That is a second be. There was a first be that he created the whole universe with. Then there is a second be that changes the whole universe into a new status, into a new station. قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ. Again, that's truth. You see, look at the two, compare the two haq with each other. He created in the first time with haq. Now he changes the station or the state of the whole creation into something new, and that's haq. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فَالصُّور. The day when the trumpet is blown, the kingdom belongs to him. It means there is nothing living but him on that day. When the trumpet is blown, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Knower of the sensible and the unseen, he is always all aware. Now, of course, Every word and concept used in this verse is just fitting the whole picture of what Allah wants to tell us. Now, so وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَقُ فِي الصُّورِ. When the trumpet is blown, kingdom belongs to him alone. Now, here another verse tells us that وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَقُ the sur, the day when the trumpet will be blown, فَفَزَعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whoever is in the heavens will be terrified, and whoever is on the earth. Well, who is in the heavens? The angels. and the souls of the prophets and the souls of the saints, they will be terrified. Now, Fada'a, of course, then this terrifying situation would lead to the death of the soul. It is so terrifying that no soul can resist it. They all die. Now, why we say they die? Because of other verses of the Quran which talk about this frightening state which would kill every soul. Whoever is in the heavens will be terrified, and whoever is on the earth, except whomever Allah may wish, and all will come to him in utter humility. Now, except whomever Allah wishes, we'll discuss this. Who are the exceptions? Who is excluded from this terrifying death of souls and angels? Now, in Surah Zumar, now Allah talks about two blowings into the trumpet. And the contrast between the two blowings is quite clear. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and the trumpet will be blown. And whoever is in the heavens will soon, and whoever is on the earth, sa'iqa. Now, sa'iqa is used here for souls. Now, because in many ahadith we have that souls die. Now, the two words used in the Quran, faza'a and sa'iqa. Sa'aq is unconsciousness due to a terrifying occasion. So when you see something quite terrifying, you go unconscious. And this is what is used about the death of the soul. It means they completely go blank, as they don't exist at all. And it's used about human physical unconsciousness as well, in terms of Musa, in the instance of Musa alayhi salam. When Musa saw فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ, when God manifested himself to the mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ, the mountain was blown up, وَخَرَّ مُوسَى سَعِقًا, Musa fell down on the ground unconscious. This was due to that terrifying thing that Musa saw from that manifestation that Allah had for the mountain. So here the sa'aq is used for the soul. In fact, the soul completely goes blank when this happens. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Again, there is exception here. Except whomever Allah wishes, then it will be blown a second time. Behold, they will rise up looking on. Now, the second blowing is the blowing of life. The first blowing is the blowing of death, as everything would die, every soul would die. The second blowing is the blowing of life. Every soul comes back to life. Now, why this should happen? This is a very, very crucial stage of the evolution of, or the procession of human soul towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should this happen? Why the soul should die and rise again? What is that period between the death of the soul and rising up, and what goes in between? How long will it last? Why should this happen at all? Why should the soul die and come back to life again? Any idea? Have you ever come across any verse explaining this?
Could it be that when a soul dies, then there's a period that we can't imagine how long this is or how huge this is, the way the whole world changes, so that when we resurrect again, this is a qiyamah. It's a different environment.
Yeah. It's a different environment, and what comes to mind is that apparently the changes that are going to take place between these two blowings are so huge and so critical that no soul can endure it. And that's why the souls are put to a type of unconsciousness, so that everything is prepared for them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they want to come back to their body and rise in a new world. In fact, when you rise in the new world on the day of resurrection, you can see that this world is completely different. You come back to the earth again, because the earth will be the same earth, but of course changed in a different, to a different stage. However, you would see that this earth is not the earth that you were living on before. This is a very strange, wonderful creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which every stone will speak to you, in which everything will talk about what you have already done here on different places of on this earth, and Allah would give a higher level of life to everything, so that even the organs of your body can speak to you and speak about what you have done, and even the trees, the stones, the rivers, everything has a higher level of knowledge. They can bear testification to what you have done. So this is quite a different type of earth. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, earth would speak about its information. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because your Lord has revealed some sort of higher knowledge to this earth. And this wahy that comes from Allah to the earth, it happens between these two glowings, a period where no soul would ever know what happened. Now, let's look to other verses and see how dramatic this change would be, and why the soul should die between these two trumpets. Now, one verse is talking about that surprise also when the trumpet comes and people are still alive on the earth. It will take them. Some people have spoken about tree blowing, which is, of course, very strange. They say one blowing comes and will kill everyone who are alive already on the earth. Then a second blowing comes and all the souls will die. And the third blowing would give life back to everyone. But it doesn't make sense, and we don't need it. The first blowing might come when still some people are alive on this earth, and most of the souls are in Barzakh, and all the souls would die at once. So some people might not see Barzakh at all. It is possible. If the blowing comes and some people are still alive on this earth, then they do not see the Barzakh. So they just straight away go to the death of blowing and then rise up again. Now look at these verses from Surah Yasin. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They say, when will this promise be fulfilled, should you be truthful? They do not await but a single cry. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً. سَيْحَةً. Again, that blowing is called سَيْحَةً as well, because it's a loud cry, as initially people might feel. They do not await but a single cry that would seize them as they wrangle. So the people who are still living on this earth, wrangling of the life, then they will not be able to make any will, nor will they return to their folks. And when the trumpet is blown, behold, there they will be scrambling from their graves, so this is the second blowing, from their graves towards their Lord. They will say, woe to us, who raised us from our place of sleep? This is what all beneficent had promised, and the apostles had spoken the truth. It will be but a fingers crossed, and behold, they will all be presented before us. Today, no one will be done any injustice, nor will you be requited except for what you to do. Now, here it talks about two, blowing your two cries. One cry, or one very loud voice, which kills everyone, and then the other one, which gives life to everyone. The interesting thing here is that when the life comes again to the soul, it comes with the body. The soul does not come back to life and then they are put in their bodies. No. Even between the two blowings, the bodies are recreated again without souls knowing about it. And souls suddenly open their eyes to life, seeing themselves in new bodies, coming out of their graves, so to speak. And because here, what it says here is that when the trumpet is blown, behold, they will be scrambling from their graves towards their Lord. Of course, they will be scrambling because they are pushed forward by angels. We'll discuss this. It's not something that they want to do themselves. They are pushed forward by angels towards the Lord. Well, what the meaning of towards the Lord is, we'll discuss later on as well. So, what they say, they will say, woe to us, who raised us from our place of sleep? So, they were in their graves, they were put to sleep, مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. They were put to sleep, now they wake up, and they see that they are in their bodies. And they have come out of the grave, the face of the sea.
In the first instance, you mentioned a single cry, and the second instance, it meant the trumpet is blown. Can we infer that there's two different kinds of blowings here, or?
No, because this is just a different type of terminology used. It's used somewhere else, as we had in Surah Zumar. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَسَائِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ. There is a blowing, and then ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. And then there's another blowing. So, but that blowing brings a very loud cry or sound, a shattering sound that it would bring. Well, it's not only sound, it's many, many things. But the most apparent thing, the most conspicuous aspect of it that human beings can see is that huge sound that comes with it. And that's why the Quran talks about a cry coming in. We don't know what these are. These are just aspects of what is happening. That event which happens is a very comprehensive event, but it comes with a big blowing, so to speak, or a big sound. And that is what we feel, and it's mentioned. It's just like, for example, when a bomb is exploded, or when an atomic bomb is exploded, the only thing you feel in the first instance is the sound, for example. Or the only thing you feel even before the sound is the light, and you are killed before you hear the sound. Here, the manifest aspect is the sound that you feel, yes.
Are they using the terminology here, cry, because for us to understand in this world, are there some words here trying to explain to us in relation to this world? So that we can understand what cry means.
Yeah, there is sayha and there is sakha. Sakha is very loud voice, which would somehow deafen a person. And sayha, sakha, and certainly blowing of trumpets had the connotation of a sound like that, like the sound of a trumpet. That comes, of course, different trumpets have different sounds. We don't know what type of it. But this is so loud that would kill, it's so terrifying, so to speak. Now, There's another term used here. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ. Zajra is a sound which tortures. It's from zajr. So here the translation is a single shout. But a shout that is tormenting for the people who hear it. It will be only a single shout. And behold, they will look on and say, woe to us. This is the day of retribution. This is the day of judgment that he used to deny. Now, from the previous verse we understand, as the people come to resurrection, as they are raised from their graves, they are so confused that they still don't know what has happened. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. What has happened? Why did we become alive? Why did we wake up? Why did we come out of our grave? How come we are in bodies again? They whisper these things with each other. Well, imagine yourself, inshallah, imagine all of us, and we are somehow buried somewhere close to each other, and suddenly, lo, we are all again on the face of the earth. And the first thing which happens is, what has happened? Why did we come out? We were there, we were dead. What has happened? Why? Because there's no one there to explain for you what has happened. It's just like this one. You are left to yourself. There, for quite a long time, you are left to yourself as well. You don't know what happened. And the verse in Surah Yasin actually implies that after a while, they just guess. هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانِ. This is probably what Allah has promised. وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And they come to the conclusion that yes, the prophets were right. This is the day of resurrection. They come to realize this gradually, that this is the day of resurrection, yes.
It's kind of just like, well, I don't want to believe in the day of judgment, you know, but you really don't, I mean,
no, you see, even...
Could that apply to people who actually believe because they don't...
Even those who believe. I mean, it's just like... You see, it's just like when you suddenly wake up from your sleep and you don't know where you are. And this is even worse. You suddenly come out of the grave and you don't know what has happened. And it takes some while that you realize what is happening and what has happened. And, of course, we will see, it's not like that immediately as you come out, you know where you have to go, what is this, and what is the destination. No. Things will happen gradually. You have a long, long time ahead of you before you are even categorized into different categories and then taken by the angels to the destination which is destined for you. And remember that this journey...
that is two cars, M399BLA and S835LJN. You can move your cars because they're blocking the road for the ladies. How far can you from there?
So... it gets some time that you are even told something by anyone, that what has happened. And remember that this journey is going to take 1,000 years. Kind of, well, sorry, 50,000 years. From the moment you come on the face of the earth to the moment that you reach your destination in paradise, inshallah, it would take 50,000 years. And you can guess, you can imagine what type of place we are going to live in. In this world that we live about 60 years, well, on the average 60 years, 55 years, 60 years, you see how prepared we try to be, how worried we are, how concerned we are. Now, there you are going to live before going to paradise. I don't say hell because, inshallah, none of you will go to hell. Before going to paradise, you are actually living for 50,000 years in that situation where, of course, this continuous travel, continuous journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards that destination. And you can imagine how prepared we have to be for that. And you can imagine how needy we are for provision. Now, what is our food there? What should we drink? How do we interact with each other? Because we move in groups. How would we interact with each other? Is there a social type of interaction there? Would be there a leader guiding people? Would be someone more knowledgeable than others, telling them what's happening, what they have to do next, where they have to go next, or just angels would take you along? Well, these are all questions that we can find some answers for them in the Quran. But it's a world of which we have very little knowledge here.
When you said it's going to take 50,000 years, correct me if I'm wrong, is it the time on the period you wake up and you are accountable for your deeds? Or is it after you are accounted for your deeds and that's the destiny of you for hell or heaven? Is it the time that until you will start getting decided? Is that the time or you have already decided and then after 50,000 years that all the accounting has been done?
Well, the moment you die, the destination for every person is clear. Okay.
Right.
But we have no knowledge of it.
Okay.
The people who come on the face of the earth, they have no knowledge where they are going to be taken, except the very evil ones or the very pure ones.
Mm-hmm.
Others, they don't know. So, the stage of being taken into account comes in the middle of this journey, towards the end. And still there are several thousand years to go before we come to that stage where the accounts are opened and people are told what is their situation. We have to go through many, many different stages. We are just at the very beginning of our life. I mean, in this world we are just at the very beginning of our life. And you see how short is this world. As we move along, the stages get longer and longer and longer. We stayed 9 months only in the womb. Then we stay about 90 years here. Then probably many thousand years in Barzakh. And many, many thousand years on the day of resurrection. And when we say day of resurrection, it's not one day. It is that 50,000 years as a period, which would lead us to the paradise or to the hell.
Just one question. Why does it require 50,000 years for Allah to decide?
No, it's not to decide. It's just how the creation develops. It's not decision taking. Allah already knows. He has decided who goes to hell, who goes to paradise. It's just how it unfolds.
Why do you need 50,000 years for that?
Well, why this world has needed several million years to come to this state? This is how... You see, in the world of Allah, there is no time. The time is an aspect of the unfolding of His creation. So, even some mystics say, if you can just pass the material and barzakhi aspect of it, you see that time has no meaning. Their time has no meaning. This is just something that comes along with this type of creation. Now, another term used for it is فَإِذَا نُقْرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ, when the trumpet will be sounded. نَقْر, of course, is when you blow into something and it gives a huge sound. فَإِذَا نُقْرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيلٌ, that day will be a day of hardship. Not at all easy for the faithless. Leave me to deal with him whom I created alone, and then furnish him with extensive means. Of course, these are about the later stages. Again, Another term used is يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة. When the thing which is going to be shaken would be shaken, and then another thing would come after it. The day when the Quaker quakes and is followed by the successor, that successor is the second blowing which comes. Hearts will be trembling on that day, bearing a humbled loop. They will say, are we being returned to our earlier states, to our bodies? What when we have been decayed bones? Of course, as we said, the life comes when they are in their body. They will come conscious about it. This might be a metaphorical type of thing, that are the souls going to go back to bodies again to the previous state? Or we might have to change our theory completely, saying that no, the souls get conscious a little bit before going to the bodies, but the other verses would deny this. Now, what when we have been decayed bones? They will say this then is a reunion, ruinous return. Yet it will be only a single shout. And behold, they will be awake. Again, Zajra is used here. Now, we just skip this verse as well to see what goes between the two blowings. So, the death-giving blowing and the life-giving blowing, although they are very different from each other, they are symbols or manifestations of two different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which manifests itself in the highest form, killing every soul. And, of course, the other one which gives life, a higher type of life, a higher degree of life to every soul, they manifest themselves completely. And then there should be something which goes between these two, and it would justify the death of the soul. Why the soul should die? As I said, probably because they cannot endure what is going to go to happen between the two blowings. The preparation of the world for a new stage of creation, a creation in which everything has a higher degree of life, higher degree of understanding, knowledge, and that frustration is so dramatic that all souls should be put into a type of unconsciousness. Even the angels should be put in a type of unconsciousness. All they have to be taken out of this universe, as we will see in one verse in Surah Al-Haqqah, when it says the angels will be taken to the boundaries. Even the angels cannot endure this type of change in the universe. Now, what goes on between the two blowings? First of all, how long this would last, we don't know. It might take millions of years between the two blowings until these changes are made and the world is prepared for a new type of life of human soul and human being, which is either in hell or in paradise. So, we don't know about the duration between the two blowings. There are things mentioned in Ahadith, like for example 40 years or something like that, or 400 years. But it's all something which is the guess of the exit. What goes with the reasoning about how we have seen the creation of the heavens and earth, and how Allah usually creates systematically? We might imagine that yes, millions of years would pass before the second blowing comes, and then the souls are put back to life. Now, what happens? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ. They question you concerning the mountains. Say, my Lord will scatter them like dust. Then he will leave it a level plain. فَقُلْ يَنْصِفُهَا رَبِّي نَصْفًا. Leave the earth like a level plain. When you come back to the earth, inshallah, on the day of resurrection, you will see that There are no mountains, no ups and downs. It's just a level plane that you can see through, and much, much bigger, huge type of earth. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, you come to this. Then he will leave it a level plane. You will not see any crookedness or unevenness in it. لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْثَى. Now, why the earth would take this shape? I don't know. It should do something with the way paradise is going to be played, or how human beings are going to live on that stage. There are reasons for mountains now existing. There is no reason for mountains then to exist, because the whole organization of the universe will change. And we don't know why the earth would be like that. And again, about the earth, what happens to the earth? يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَّارِ. The day the earth is transformed into another earth. It's still the earth. It doesn't go anywhere. The universe doesn't go anywhere. It's still the universe. But they would be transformed into new things. So the day the earth is transformed into another earth, and the heavens as well, they will be transformed into another type of heaven. And they are presented before Allah, then this talks about other issues. Again, about the mountains. وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةِ. The day we shall set the mountains moving. Means, again, we scatter them like dust, they move like dust. And you will see the earth in full view. As I said, you will see through. Nothing would bar the vision, because there is no ups and downs on the earth anymore. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. And we shall muster them, and we will not leave out any one of them. Again, about the earth. كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا. No, indeed, when the earth is leveled to a plane, and your Lord and the angels arrive in ranks. The day when hell is brought near, on that day man will take admonition, but what will the admonition avail him? These are, of course, the things which happen to human beings, but now we are concentrating on what happens to the physical constellation of the earth and the heavens. Now, here it talks about a mechanism as well. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. O mankind, be wary of your Lord. Indeed, the quake of the hour is a terrible thing. Now, so we understand that then there will be a quake. A shaking of the earth which would pound everything, even the mountains. And how long this would last, we don't know. Apparently, that shaking might not be due to the movement of different plates of the earth. Maybe due to scattering of the stars and something like that. But then the earth cannot keep its balance. And then it changes shape. It will be elongated. And many other things that would happen to it, as we are told in the Quran. We are just told some information about what happened. Again, of course, the verses are too numerous in this regard. I just mentioned a few examples. Al-qari'atu mal-qari'ah. The catastrophe. What is the catastrophe? What will show you what is the catastrophe? It means that you cannot understand what that type of evil would be. The day mankind will be scattered much, and the mountains will be like carded wool, as it's pounded over each other, kal farash al kal ihn al manfush, and then what happens next? Idha zulzilat al ard zilzalaha, when the earth is rocked with a terrible quake, and the earth discharges her burden, means the bodies are thrown out of it, so to speak. And the man says, what is the matter with her? And again, similar verses. The day when the earth and the mountains will quake, and the mountains will be like dunes of shifting sand. Now, the interesting thing is, if your bodies are reformed in your grave, when I say reformed, if there's anything left there, it would develop, and it would again grow into another body. If there's nothing left, that we have in Ahadith, or what Quran implies, that one cell of you would remain anyhow, would remain intact, even if everything else is scattered, is taken by the cycle of life, by plants, by animals, and something like that. One cell of you would remain, and that one cell would give an exact body, exactly the same body to you as you had in this world, of course, with different type of material, something which befits that type of life there, befits that type of earth, that type of living. So, when you are recreated, your body is recreated in the grave, and the soul matches it again. Now, you are under tons of dust and soil, aren't you? How you come out? How you come out? Well, this pounding of the earth apparently makes it possible for bodies to somehow scatter the earth or the sand or whatever from themselves. It will become so soft. As the Prophet says, when people raise from their graves, he says that I am the first person who just tossed off the soil and dust from my face. I'm the first one coming out. And then people will follow me, coming out of their graves, because the earth is so soft that it would make it possible for them now to come out. And then you would...
For those who are cremated.
As I said, only one cell would remain. And that one cell, no matter how small it is, it would be recreated again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ the heaven, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَهُقَّتْ, when the sky is split open and gives ear to its Lord as it should, obeys the Lord. Now, the sky is torn apart. When we talk about the sky, of course we know the sky is nothing to be torn apart. It means that we are told in other verses of the Quran, the stars and the planets would be scattered. The system, the solar system, and the different galaxies, they somehow lose their organization and they fall apart. This is the meaning of when the sky is torn. So it's not only at the earth. The heavens, the sky also would undergo that type of change. So, and we have specifically about the sun, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوَّرَتْ, when the sun is, takwir is when it falls into itself, and becomes small, very small. It falls into, it's wrapped into itself, so to speak. So, The heavens, when the sky is split open and gives ear to its Lord as it should, when the earth is spread out and throws out what is in it, mudda spread out, as I said, it will be so huge now. What happens, we don't know. It will become a very huge plane, or a very huge planet, so to speak. We don't know whether planets and stars would remain as the same. We have planets and stars, or this type of classification. But, of course, it wouldn't be the way it is now. Again, here we have as-sama'u munfatirun bih, on that day. So if you disbelieve, how will you avoid the day which will make the children white-headed? It means even if you are a child, the hardship is so extensive that your head will grow white, even if you are a child. Of course, this is a metaphor used to show the extent of the hardship which would exist on that day, and wherein the sky will rent apart. As-sama'u munfatirun bih. Again, the same thing is used. Now, Surah Al-Infitar, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, when the skies rent apart, وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْفَطَرَتْ, when the stars are scattered, وَإِذَا الْبَحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, when the seas are merged or are exploded. What does this mean? Again, we don't know. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, and when the grave overturns, then a soul shall know what it has sent ahead and left. These are the changes which happen until the souls come to the realization of what was the reality of their action. As we said, these are all linked to each other. I think I mentioned this before. When we say that Quran says Allah would inform you of what you did, فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, Allah would inform you. Not that He tells us. No. We will see the reality of what we did. We do something here, we don't know what's the reality of it, we just see an apparent thing, an appearance, but when we come to this reality, we see the reality of our action. And this is why it says, it's only on that stage that a soul would know. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ, then a soul shall know what it has sent ahead and left behind. Again about the stars, فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ, when the stars are blotted out, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ, and when the sky is split, and when the mountains are scattered like dust, and when the time is set for apostles to witness, for what day has all that been set to occur? لَأَيَّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ, all these events that I mentioned, for what day has all that been set to occur? For the day of judgment. لَيَوْمِ الْفَصْلِ, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ, the verse is coming. Now, a more colorful picture of what happens, a more detailed picture of what happens in Surah Takwir, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوَّرَتْ, when the sun is wound up, wrapped into itself, when the stars scatter, when the mountains are set moving. You see, in all these verses, the mountains are either pounded, made into powder or dust, moving. There should be a blowing of something, a wind or something that scatters all that pounded material. When the mountains are set moving, when the pregnant camels are neglected, of course there's no pregnant camels there anymore. This is a metaphor the Arab uses, because pregnant camel is the most precious thing that was the most precious thing that Arabs had. And it was not possible for a person to neglect a pregnant camel. And now here the metaphor is used that you are so busy with yourself and what you have done that you even leave pregnant camels. And وَإِذَا الْإِشَارُ أُطْلَتْ, when the pregnant camels are neglected, when the wild beasts are mustered, when the seas are set afire. Now, futjirat and sujirat, which are used for the sea. Apparently, what happens, all the water of the ocean will evaporate in a type of boiling which would set all the seas and oceans into fire, so to speak, that then probably there will be new material coming in. We don't know. When the souls are sorted, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, and when the girl buried alive will be asked for what sin she was killed, and when the scrolls of the scriptures are unrolled, or scrolls of the actions are unrolled, when the sky is stripped off, when hell is set ablaze, we'll talk about this later on, that the hell is there but not set ablaze, would be set ablaze, when paradise is brought near, then a soul shall know what it has ready. Again, the same thing. It is on that stage of creation that your soul would know what were the meaning of all these things that the Allah and the prophets talked to us about. And one interesting thing in Surah Qiyamah, when the eyes are dazzled and the moon is eclipsed, and the sun and the moon are brought together. Now, we don't know the meaning of this. وَجُمَعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرِ, the sun and the moon are brought together. That day man will say, where is the scale? No, indeed, there is no refuge, of course, except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire earth will be in his fist on the day of resurrection, and the heavens scrolled in his right hand. وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينَهُ. Of course, these are metaphorical, this is metaphorical language used, but what I want to point out here is وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينَهُ. The heavens are scrolled. It is now wrapped as it was just spread open. Now Allah would wrap it up, and we don't know what the meaning of it is. It might be related to Jum'a al-Shamsu wal-Qamar, the moon and the sun would come together, and other stars would come together. It's somehow just taking away the tablecloth of the stars and universe. Now, the same thing again in Surah Waqi'ah. And this is the verse I have to leave for next week, but I read the translation so that you think about it a little bit. When the trumpet is blown with a single blast, and the earth and the mountains are lifted and leveled with a single level, then on that day will the imminent hour befall, and the sky will be split open. For it will be frail that day. وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ فَهِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاهِيَ. Now, think about this wahiya, it's frail. This gravity within the stars, it doesn't work anymore. Now it's very strong. The heavens is now very strong. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْحُبُقِ. I'll discuss about this next week, inshallah. But on that day, it will be very, very frail. فَهِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاهِيَ, and the angels will be all over it, or will be on the boundary, and the throne of your Lord will be borne that day by eight. يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَ, but eight angels, as it's written here, or eight human beings, or what? So inshallah, we'll discuss this next.